Hello and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Today we're talking about sleep care, COVID-19, the lessons sleep providers have learned, how those lessons might carry them into the post-pandemic future, and what it means for the rest of the industry. Here to discuss those ideas and answer some key questions, well-known sleep provider Gary Sheehan, CEO of Spiro Health, joins the podcast to circle back on some previous discussions he's done with HMEB.
Mid-late March, you and I talked about sort of your initial COVID-19 response because you guys were really on top of it. You had been monitoring this and planning and already were able to implement some procedures. And then I think I've checked in with you once or twice since then. But it's been a little while since you and I had talked, and I'm really interested, in sleep. I'm interested in COVID-19 and how it's impacting the industry as a whole. But I think sleep is a really good one as a micro that defines the macro, because it's such a blend of care and technology. But then there's also like the mask setup, which is, historically been a really important part of care and the efficacy of care and people, maintaining their therapy. And then at the same time, that involves or historically has involved a lot of touch. So I just think sleep is a really interesting, niche within the overall HME world that really kind of defines all the troubles or, illustrates all the difficulties or whatever that COVID-19 kind of creates, and also some of the creative solutions. So thinking about that, if you had to describe the learning curve that sleep providers have gone through over, since March, how would you describe it? And would you say that they're passing the test?
I think most are, yeah. I mean, the learning curve has been steep. For us, as we said, we were monitoring the situation globally and had concerns and, kind of real concerns later in February and into March. We made the decision Wednesday, March 11th, to push everybody remote beginning Friday, of course, Friday the 13th. And over that weekend, we had to figure out how to run our business with our entire employee population at home. We were fortunate to have a pretty strong technology infrastructure already in place, not purpose-built for the intent of a pandemic, but there we were. We quickly ramped up policies, procedures, processes to run the business remotely, do remote shipments at scale, arrange for follow-up consultations. I think a lot of sleep providers, had remote shipping on their roadmap of things to try and tackle. I think there were concerns about brand reputation of going too far, too fast with it. So a lot of us have been thinking about it for a while. I think some people had already been doing it in pockets, but we were just forced to adapt really quickly. And I'm very proud of our team's ability to do that, and the service we were able to provide. The patient feedback that we got over the first several months was overwhelmingly positive in terms of our ability to provide service without interruption. And then we began to educate our referral partners on how they could operate in a COVID world through home sleep testing and telehealth consultations. So kind of tried to help coach them up a little bit, where it was asked to, because we, without them diagnosing new cases, right, the pool quickly dries up. So, we've learned a lot over the last seven months. We will continue to take those learnings and apply them to how we do business moving forward. We are, selectively, very slowly and cautiously reopening some of our facilities for folks who demand in person. I still think it's a very tenuous time for the country and for the states that we operate in. So we're not, we're still biased towards remote setups, A, because it's worked well, and B, we don't want to be involved directly or indirectly with further transmission at this point. So most of the sleep providers I've talked to were very creative and have done a really good job and provided service, uninterrupted. And you just adapt a little bit The consultations, the fitting is different. Some of these 2D and 3D mask fitters that have came out right at the right time for us, and it's been great to have that tool in our toolkit because it helps a little bit. But we haven't lost as much in the way of compliance as we probably would have guessed, 8-9 months ago.
That's really interesting. So I've heard some things here. The remote setups, telehealth, remote consultation. If you had to kind of pick three or four sort of cornerstone adaptations that the sleep providers have made, what would those kind of cornerstone adaptations be?
I'd say, the from a patient services point of view, is the remote setup, right, in the consultation follow up. I think even when this is over with, that might be the preferred methodology with an in-person setup post initial setup. That's a bit of a mouthful, but if you're shipped a device, it might be a more constructive dialogue to start therapy for 2 or 3 nights and then have a setup in person prior to, rather than just sitting in a room and learning about it cold. I think the first few nights of therapy introduce a lot of questions. So perhaps a drop ship or a shipping model, and then an in-person consultation or telehealth consultation, after. The other one is the remote workforce. I feel like we can now recruit in all 50 states for support personnel and ship them, a phone and on we go. So it's a little bit of a different view on employee requirements. Potentially, we haven't made that strategy actionable yet, but it's something that we're absolutely considering because it's been very successful. And I don't care if they're working remote, to some degree, it doesn't matter if they're 5 miles from the office or 500 miles from the office.
You talked about 2D mask fitting and 3D mask fitting and some of these other technological solutions. What have been sort of the key, technology, IT, innovations or developments that have helped you kind of deal with this situation?
Yeah, I mean, we're not doing anything overly exotic, but, DocuSign paired with, we've been very focused on the education and consultation, so sending patients videos specific to their products and supplies so that they can orient themselves with video. So little things. I don't think we're doing anything particularly sophisticated or interesting. It's just, making sure we check the regulatory boxes and get signatures, et cetera, where we need them. That the patients have the support or access to the support in the event that they need it. And increasingly, I think that support is not person to person or over the phone. It's YouTube to some degree.
I'm curious if the same holds true for how you've been working with referral partners. If things were kind of going towards a more remote method anyway, and now you've just had these circumstances that have helped kind of nudge things in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, the referral relationship was always remote by and large. I mean, reps would call on them, but in terms of ordering, it's faxing and phone work and things like that. So I don't think anything's materially changed there.
Got it. What about coming up here? I've seen different reports saying a second wave is coming. Other people saying, no, a second wave already happened and a third wave is coming. So I think there's all these sort of, there's kind of conjecture as to where the nation stands when it comes to COVID-19. But I'm guessing that you probably have some more solid ideas about where your, the patients in the markets that you serve, where COVID-19 is heading for your markets and how you're planning. I'm curious, what your kind of expectations are going forward and how you plan to conduct business and care.
Yeah, I mean, we have a fairly bearish view on the outlook for the U.S. in terms of COVID. And how we've responded over the past 7 months as a country, as a government, and how we might respond over the ensuing kind of 6 months. I think the winter's going to be a little bit ugly. I think, you know, people are fed up with it, but that doesn't mean that it's gone. I think we're seeing rising rates in most areas where we operate. It's very concerning. And then you commingle the anticipation of flu symptoms, and, you know, we're fully expecting things to slow down slash shut down at some point in the next 90 days again. And we haven't really taken aggressive steps to go back to doing things the way they were before. So that's going to be, you know, minimally disruptive for us. We still are primarily work from home. If we have to stand down some of the locations that we've opened up, that's not going to be that disruptive. We're only able to see, you know, sort of 5 patients per RT per day because we're allocating all this cleaning time between visits. I think the referral population is better suited now than they were before to go to a remote model and to try and do HSTs. But again, I've been, disappointed in our country's overall response. And it just seems like a lot of unneeded death and illness due to a lack of leadership, frankly. So we'll see what happens over the next sort of 60 days, 90 days, you know, with an election and things, and continue to keep our focus on our patient safety and the health and safety of our team members.
And then, and if anything, because you were talking about earlier how, you know, you were moving towards these models anyway, it sounds like how you're conducting now, you know, care and your business now is probably going to be how you'll conduct things in the future, regardless of whether or not there's a public health emergency. Is that fair to say?
No, I mean, I think we will have that as an operating service model, right, the remote. Uh-huh. And I think a lot of patients will prefer that. I frankly would probably be one myself if you gave me an option of setting time out of my day to coming and sitting with somebody, or, you know, sending something to me and providing appropriate video support with the knowledge that if I needed to see somebody, I could. That's probably what I would pick. But I don't think we're going to be, you know, 95%, you know, remote setups post-pandemic. I don't know what it will be, but certainly, you know, we want to meet patients and serve patients how they want to be served. And I think there's just going to be an openness to this as a service model in a way that, you know, there probably wasn't 9 months ago. I think our referral partners would have been concerned if we were shipping to this degree, you know, pre-pandemic, because it just wasn't the way the business was normally done. I think now that we've got good data on patient outcomes, patient experience, you know, it's certainly going to be something that we offer. But I don't think we will be as resistant. We'll still have, you know, locations and capabilities to serve patients in the community face to face. But I do think a lot of patients are still going to elect to have that remote setup.
It's interesting. Like, I find in my personal life, I would much rather just very quickly talk to a physician over the phone or in a Zoom or whatever, just because, you know, time is tight and all that. And that, you know, because a lot of visits are more consultation than examination, who wants to drive to just do some consulting?
Yeah, you waste a lot of time driving around and sitting in meetings, and, you know, there's a lot of time. I think we've realized there's a lot of time as a society wasted on unnecessary face-to-face stuff, and I think that's going to be a whole chain. You know, when you think about meetings or physician's visits or, you know, all the other stuff that we do in terms of our personal and work lives, that's going to be reexamined.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this is fascinating stuff. I really appreciate it, Gary.
Good talking, David. Good luck with everything, and, you know, stay safe.
And that's good advice for everyone. Stay safe. Thanks again to Gary Sheehan, CEO of Spiro Health. Don't forget to rate and review the HME Business Podcast. And please, if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to make sure to stay on top of everything that is happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service. And if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on both Facebook and Twitter, and I'm at Postacute News on Twitter. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me via Twitter at Postacute News or via email at DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering compelling HME business topics like this one, but for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.